What up, y'all? It's your man, D-Real, the Black Panther, Stalking Urban Jungle, and Vibranium Adidas, bringing you another podcast, Be Real with D-Real. I'm that D-Real guy. Hey, what's up? What's cracking? How you doing? I am going to dispense with the pleasantries, and I am going to get to it. Less than a week ago, actually about 3-4 days ago, unless you've been under a rock or you've just been totally ignoring every electronic signal that pumps out information. Gayle King, the homie of Oprah Winfrey, did an interview for CBS Morning with Lisa Leslie in which she discussed Kobe Bryant. First, before I go any further, I don't even think it's been 2 weeks. I don't even think the man is in the ground. And we're already talking about his legacy. First, let's slow down with all the chit-chat, jibber-jabber about whose legacy is what before we even get the man, before he even becomes a full-fledged ancestor, if you will. You know what I'm saying? It's like we just took the opportunity to just say, bump it. Well, I ain't going to say we. We didn't. Certain parties, CBS, Gayle King, felt like we needed to speak on that because the topic was still hot for some reason. We'll get to that in a second. But if you have not seen the interview, it is about a 5-minute and 33-second interview, at least the part that has been captured for the public's viewing. And sure enough, the first 2-3 minutes or so start out pretty, you know, nondescript. You know, they're talking about their relationship, how they met and how they were friends, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And then Gayle decides to steer the conversation towards Kobe and the rape trial, so-called rape, back in 2003. Now, as a journalist, I get it. You're supposed to dig and get that information. But like so many people have been saying, from D.L. Hughley to Bill Bellamy and to a lesser degree, people like 50 Cent and Snoop Dogg, not that their opinions don't matter, but it just seems like the more blunt the opinion is, the more boorish it is regarded. I'm not going to say either one of them gentlemen's opinions don't count, and Snoop Dogg has since, I wouldn't say necessarily that he retracted what he felt, but he did apologize for how he spoke about Gayle speaking about Kobe. Bottom line, it ain't time yet. I don't care who you are, how much money you have, where you been. Well, if we African American, and it sounds like everybody in this current situation, all the players that are involved in this situation right here are African American, Africans in America, Black people, whatever the heck you want to call us, you need to understand, we don't speak ill of the dead. I don't care what that mug did. We do not speak ill of the dead. I mean, it ain't no superstitious, supernatural, nothing. It's just a respect thing. Come on, man. The person is not here to defend themselves, period, point blank. And over the course of the interview, that is what Lisa Leslie made painfully obvious to Gayle. But Gayle went on to ask not one, not two, but three questions regarding Kobe and the rape trial, and even went so far as to say, you know, that you wouldn't see it. You wouldn't see it. It's basically how she said it. I don't know what she meant by it, but the inflection of her voice to me, and this is just me, nobody else, the inflection of her voice was like, Well, I would expect you to defend him. Oh, well, yeah, that's her homie. I mean, what is she just supposed to let you talk him down into a hole? And I don't get why she needed to keep asking and asking about the man's legacy. It should be obvious what that man's legacy is. That we're 17 years removed. 16, 17, trial went 03, 04. We're 17 years removed from that situation. And in a court of law, he was not found guilty. Regardless of what the reason was, he wasn't found guilty. Okay? Why are we rehashing this shit? Is what is on the minds of every African in America's mind. Why are we even talking about this shit? The man's wife is trying to plan a funeral. She's trying to grieve. She's doing all of this and that here and there. You know what I'm saying? And here comes CBS, fresh out the gate, wounds still raw. And y'all asking about legacies and rape and shit. And I was talking about this with my wife today. Okay, if Vanessa forgave Kobe for his transgressions, which he apologized publicly for, why do we need to bring this shit back up? Other than to say that was a real stand-up, hold your own feet to the fire type of thing that Kobe did. Why are we still, you know, kind of going back and forth about, well, how do you feel as a woman? She don't feel nothing as a woman, Gail. That was her friend. She just lost her friend. She's not sitting around thinking about, was my friend really a rapist after he died? Come on. As a journalist, I get it. But as a human being, come on. As a human being, as a black person, back up. Slow down. Who are you trying to get this story for? Who are you trying to get these answers to? White America? I don't know. It just, to me, all of this infighting and catcalling and besmirching of people's reputations should be beneath the person and people who are doing it. But yet and still, it's happening. Now, there have been, you know, dueling opinions about how this should or shouldn't be handled, because I know my man, Michael Eric Dyson, who everybody, you know, seems to look up to and respect to, you know, a certain degree. And he was saying, you know, that Snoop was out of pocket for calling a woman out of her name. Snoop was, you know, disrespectful for threatening a woman. And I get it, but Mr. Dyson, if that was your mama, if that was your wife, if that was your daughter, and they had died, and we getting this, you know, folks trying to drag other folks' name in the mud, I am quite certain you probably would respond with the same vitriol as Mr. Broadus did. He was feeling some kind of way. You could tell by the way he was responding in the Instagram that he was in his feelings. He was upset. He didn't like that stuff. That he didn't like what you said. And as far as Gail saying CBS taking it out of context, no, sweetheart. It was not taken out of context. That clip of that portion of the interview was played in real time. I watched the whole interview. That bit that's floating around, that little clip, that snippet that's floating around is what you said. Regardless of if that was not the entire tempo of the interview, you turn that, I guarantee you, in Lisa Leslie's mind, she was probably thinking, where the hell is she going with this? Like everybody else was wondering when they heard it, where are you going with this? Okay, and the bottom line is, you didn't need to be on it like that. She was on it like a bloodhound. She was on it like I gotta get this answer. Ain't no way y'all gonna squirm out of this one. We gonna find out once and for all if Kobe is a rapist. You had 17 years to find out if Kobe was a rapist. Why do we, and this is the pattern. This is what's pissing Black America off, Gayle King. The pattern that you privileged in a position to do the most good, celebrities, journalists, et cetera, and so on, the position you guys are in, you instead of using it to do good, instead of using it to uplift, we choose to witch hunt our own. We choose to run down the reputations and legacies of people who look like us. And that's the part I don't understand. I always thought, you know, it was an unwritten rule that if there was two Black people on television and they were talking about another Black person, the idea was to ameliorate all that negativity and not say negative things about another Black person who's doing well or who has done well, and show in the hell not say a bunch of foul shit about somebody who ain't alive to defend themselves. And like back to Michael Eric Dyson trying to tell everybody, okay, Gayle and Oprah, you know, they a squad that represent a multitude of good that has been done for the Black community, but this one act, We're being too hard on them. Respectfully, Professor Dyson, I got to disagree. We are defined by our actions. We are defined by our words. And if Mother Teresa was standing somewhere and she all of a sudden was just telling folks, you know, fuck y'all, you a piece of shit. I mean, you know, but all the good she's done, you know, and then she decides she wants to start doing coke and hanging out with male strippers. Okay, well, shouldn't all the good she's done mitigate that one wrong act? Debatable. You know what I mean? Because that's what we're trying to make it sound like Kobe's doing. You know, does it make sense? Does it click? It sounds like, okay, Gayle, you got a platform, and you could have used that platform to say anything you wanted to say to Lisa Leslie in regard to Kobe. You had a treasure trove of information, of knowledge, of memories that you could have spoke to Lisa and tapped into. But instead, your prevailing thought was, in this time of grief that people who care about him are grieving about him, not to mention the nation and the world at large, that is what you wanted to discuss. Again, like I said, I get it, journalism. However, poor motherfucking taste. Very poor taste and extremely poor timing. This is not the time to be getting no hot exposés on Kobe. If you want to get a hot expose on Kobe, why didn't you get a hot expose on Kobe while he was alive? This is the question that keeps coming up. What are you trying to prove? What is it going, you know, and then, you know, and like I said, I did a show a couple weeks back about Oprah and this thing where they're trying to run down Black men. I have discovered that she has since decided that she is not going to take part in the Russell Simmons special, where we try to run yet another wealthy, prestigious, legendary Black man's name in the dirt. I mean, what are we trying to say? If you don't have no leaders, you don't have no direction. If you don't have no role model, you don't have no nothing to model yourself after. And that is what I feel, is what I see before my eyes, and I ain't stupid, you know, that is being modeled. That's what every black man that has ever done anything legendary, prestigious, beneficial to the betterment of the black race is trying to be made into something far less than what they are. Like the entire conversation is about, okay, all these years they've been pulling the wool over your eyes. This is what they really are. You see what I'm saying? And it's like, my God, man, is there, don't y'all got anything better to do? You know, case in point, we talking about people's legacies. Why aren't we sitting down having a legacy conversation about Harvey Weinstein? Why are we sitting around having a legacy conversation about Woody Allen? Why are we sitting around having a legacy conversation about Kevin Spacey? How come we aren't having legacy conversations about Donald Trump? You know what I'm saying? But, well, we know what's going to happen. You try to have a legacy conversation about Donald Trump. He's just a vicious, vindictive little orange man. So you don't never want to get to tugging at his string. You're going to unravel a whole bunch of mess. But, like I said, of the aforementioned individuals, why aren't we sitting down with them having a nice little 5-minute conversation? Why ain't we setting them up for what was basically the coup de grace of that entire interview? You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, let's talk about Kobe's jersey. Let's talk about when you and Kobe first met, and Kobe was 18, and how Kobe patterned himself after Michael Jordan, and how Kobe stuck his tongue out, and how he tried to emulate and duplicate everything Michael Jordan did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The same thing every black boy with a basketball was doing from like 85 to 96, 97. You know what I'm saying? I get it. It's nice. It was fresh. It was refreshing and nice to know that Kobe is no different than the rest of us, that we all wanted to be like Mike. But then that interview shifted gears real quick, and we went into some territory that we probably could have stayed out of, Gail. We went down an avenue that there was a different route of accessing, to just come out and just flat out, you know, I mean, asking the question is one thing, but to keep on poking and prying and, oh, Gail, you how you would think that, and you know, what are we really talking about here? You know, what we're talking about here is another attempt to besmirch the reputation of a prominent black entertainer / athlete posthumously. You know what I'm saying? Why wait until after they're dead? Oprah had plenty of opportunities to interview Michael Jackson when he was alive and ask him, and she did. But this information that comes to light after his death, I wouldn't even entertain that shit. I'm gonna be honest with you. I wouldn't even entertain it unless there was some basis in fact and it wasn't just the rantings of one individual. I wouldn't have let it even see the light of day, personally. That's just me. But we talking about Kobe. And a lot of celebrities have chimed in. A lot of celebrities have said, this is how I feel, this is what I think, you know, and have been asked their opinions. And so my entire thought process with that is this. I get it. There's one or two that are just uncouth and don't get it, you know, journalists and folks that are feeling some kind of way, you know. But why aren't we being respectful of the dead? And that's what I keep coming back to. Is it's like, is there really the time or the place to be throwing all that out there. I mean, it's still, like I said, it's still folks grieving. It's still folks who are in their feelings. It's still folks who are upset about that man's passing. And right now, they don't want to hear no BS about no rape trial or ramifications involving it, or whether somebody did or didn't do something, or infidelity that has already been forgiven. Why are we bringing that shit up again? That's what I don't get about that whole exchange. You know, you could have interviewed anybody. You know what I mean? You could interview Harvey Weinstein. Why does that name keep coming up? Oh, I don't know, because it needs to. Excuse me there, I had a sip of a little water. I've been talking for damn near 40 minutes. 30 minutes. Question. If you have seen the interview from CBS Morning, if you have seen Snoop Dogg's message seems to be the one that sounds off the loudest. If you've seen what Snoop said, I mean, I can tell you right now, I get where Snoop was going. I just don't like the way he got there. He didn't have to call nobody out of their name. I think what he said probably would have carried a lot more weight if he hadn't went all gangster with it. You know what I'm saying? He just like, you know, he got the, you know, the bitches just start flying out and we gonna come get you. You know what I'm saying? I was like, Snoop. Pump your brakes, Loke. You know what I'm saying? Pump your brakes, OG. You know, it's folks looking at you too, homie. So you got to be mindful of what you saying and what you telling people and what, you know what I mean? Because we already, you know, I don't say we, because I respect the hustle, but there are already people looking at you like, and I'm going to just go ahead and say it. They looking at you like you're a nigga with money and people listen to niggas with money. They listen to what they have to say. Even if they IQ ain't above 110, that folks is listening to what they have to say because they're prominent, okay? And as prominent black men and women, we have a responsibility, at least I feel, you know, and who am I? But I feel we have a responsibility when it comes to us to speak truth and to speak edification, to speak, you know, uplifting things, not only to one another, but about one another. Because a lot of times, you know, all we hearing is negativity. All we are espousing sometimes is negativity. And we have to be mindful of that, man, because the energy you surround yourself with, the energy you give out is the energy that comes back to you. So if all you're doing is spouting poison, you're going to eat, sleep, drink, and breathe poison. And so my thought process is to not do that. And like I said, I was getting to a question, so I got off on a tangent. And the question is this. And this is the one that's just been burning me up for like the past couple of days. Is there a willful, purposeful agenda to besmirch the reputations of prominent Africans in America, and is Harpo spearheading that endeavor? 646-668-2268. My mama loves Oprah Winfrey, and I happen to be back in Kansas City for the Super Bowl last week, and I got an opportunity to talk in depth with my mama, and I told my mama about how I felt about Oprah and them because of, you know, her hand in the Michael Jackson thing, and her gross inaction to say or initiate anything with regard to Harvey Weinstein, her bud, her pal. And for somebody like Oprah to not take any type of action kind of makes you wonder how far up the ladder does that shit go. If Oprah is scared to do anything, if Oprah is scared to speak out against all of this fuckery, excuse my language, that's going on. I mean, because if we want to do specials, I can't say it enough. Do a special on Harvey Weinstein, okay? Do a special on Jeff Epstein. Oh, we'd really like to know what's going on with that shit, because I guarantee you, when you start tugging at that string, a whole bunch of names going to start falling out, and them names going to be famous rich folks that don't want nobody to know. And I guarantee you, it's royalty involved in that situation. We talk about mothers with proclivities towards sick shit. You know what I'm saying? That involve little children. I ain't got nothing to say to nobody that's doing something with a child. I ain't got nothing to say to you. I ain't want to look at you. You know what I'm saying? Because it makes me think, you know what I'm saying, you was always like that. And it didn't ain't something that just happened. But that's neither here nor there. Like I was saying, that's the way it feels, is that there is a willful, purposeful agenda, at least to me. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't nobody super famous and prominent. I'm just me. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like, you know, it's an agenda, you know, to keep us where we need to be. You know what I mean? You know, once you start breaking out and going on in that next level. You know what I'm saying? In Christianity, you know, a lot of African American folks, you know, they like to use the term new levels, new devils. And what that is that as you prosper and grow, the adversity, the situations, the negativity that you face is going to grow commiserately. You know what I'm saying? Your biggest problem was getting your refund check when you get your taxes. Well, as you grow and you start to make more money, you start to pay more taxes, at least when you're middle class. You know, you paying taxes. You ain't getting as much refunds. You know what I'm saying? Because to me, I always thought refunds was a sign of prosperity. But, you know, come to find out as I got older, refunds are a sign of you ain't making enough money yet, or you don't know the right people to get you the right deductions and the right this and the right. It's y'all, it's all a game. Yes, to be exact. And as long as you know how to make the right moves, you're going to get ahead in this world. Case in point, how'd Gail start off? You know what I'm saying? All we knew about Gail was Oprah's friend. And shoot, that's quite honestly all you really need to be. If you Oprah's friend or you Oprah's boyfriend, don't nobody care what Stedman do. Don't nobody care what anybody that got a foot up from Oprah did before they got that foot up, that leg up. You know what I'm saying? You got a hook up from Oprah. And Oprah's your homie. So, of course, life's going to be a little easier for you because you kicking it with Oatmeal Winfrey. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I can't say she didn't know better. I really can't say she didn't know better. I knew that woman know better. That woman's 61 years old. She's been doing some living. You know what I mean? So we can't, that you don't get 61 to be ignorant. You know what I'm saying? You don't get 61 and don't know some things. Common sense, yo. Common sense. And that's the part I don't think she gets. She, you know, she sent out a statement saying, you know, she apologized about for how this interview made some people feel, but she's, you know, she's mortified because she feel like everything was played out of context, or, you know, only the certain, that out of that whole interview, that was the part they decided to focus on. Well, here's what you ain't thinking about, Gail. If that interview was evidence in a trial or something like that, would they look at the stuff that wasn't controversial? Yeah, but they pay more attention to the controversial shit. So you got to be mindful of what you're saying, because I know a lot of that interview, the questions that are asked, they're you asking those questions. And in an interview, when you ask a question and you don't get the answer you're looking for, then another question is coming that's probing and going deeper. And that's exactly what was happening. You was going deeper. You going deeper into a situation you didn't have no business talking about in the first doggone place. That's what I don't get. And
what?
Didn't say we grieving, Big Mama. That's what's happening. Ain't nothing going on other than that. That's what we focused on. We ain't focused on nothing else. So imagine the emotion collectively. Imagine the emotion collectively. It's an evil thing, I think. I mean, I think it's, how can you not have a conversation about that man and not in some way, shape, or form allude to what he did in 2003? I get that. Trust me. I really, really get that. And were Kobe Bryant still alive, I would dare say it wouldn't be as big an issue. It would still be, but it wouldn't be as big an issue. Man, O.J. Simpson even had something to say about what Gail said about Kobe. For real, O.J. Simpson. Orenthal James Mullen Simpson said you, Gail King, was out of pocket. Wait, I'm going to say that one more again, just so I can hear it coming out of my mouth. O.J. Simpson told Gail, well, in an interview, he said to reporters, he didn't tell her, he said to reporters, Gail King's out of pocket. He said Gail King said she didn't have no, he was feeling salty about him, but, you know, Gail King said in an interview that O.J. Simpson didn't have no business visiting the grave of Nicole Simpson. You know what? I don't have a comment on that. But what I will say is, if someone as notorious, as infamous as Orenthal James Simpson is looking at you and saying, that's a shame. you know you got to walk it back some. You know you got to walk it back some. If I'm just walking, shoot. 646-668-2268 if you're feeling like you want to say something, if you're feeling like you want to answer the question, which was, is there a open agenda? Just open. And that agenda is to besmirch and belittle and destroy the reputations of prominent black men in this country. Weigh in. I mean, we could be on the conspiracy theory tip. We might be tripping. I don't know. But right now, I'm going to sit. And I ain't going to trip too hard on it because I already know what time it is. I mean, if we being honest, I don't want to rehash the whole stuff, but I mean, you know, we as black men have had targets on us. God, Lord, forever. I can't think of a time when we weren't the prey, you know what I'm saying? And it was a hunt, you know, and the overseers is waiting, you know? I mean, I remember as a child, I think I was like in middle school the first time my mother said this to me. I think it was like in seventh grade, and I didn't make the grade. You know what I'm saying? I was at a magnet school for accelerated studies. You know what I'm saying? They had a program, GT. Gifted and talented. If they called you up to go to this school, the GT, you were supposed to be the creme de la creme. You was the cream of the crop. You was the students that were supposed to be a vanguard that went out into the world and showed people what accelerated studies could do for black people. And at least my middle school years, I did not apply myself when I was in this school. And my mother let me know how she felt about it when she saw my report card. She said, you know, you have the opportunity, and these are her words exactly, I remember. She said, you have the opportunity of a lifetime, and you are fucking it off. That was her exact words. I'll never forget that because it never dawned on me how important it was. Said it the way she said, and she said it through her teeth. You know what I'm saying? When your parents say something to you through their teeth, okay, you know that they mean that. You know what I'm saying? And they feeling some kind of way about it. I straightened up and flew right. Well, I straightened up and flew as right as I could. You know, because you know, I'm a big man. I'm out there with that. But I mean, the lesson was not lost on me, and I feel like it's that's the responsibility we all have as black people to excel, to continue to rise. And what my mama told me that day was, boy, when you're black, you have to be twice as good as everybody else because your average is not going to do in a mixed arena. We tracking what that means, literally? Okay. Translation. When you're black, you got to be better than the white people. You got to be better than the Asian people. You got to be better than the Latino people. You got to be better than everybody. Otherwise, they're not going to notice you. Your accomplishments have to stand out. And that's precisely what Kobe did, man. Kobe didn't go to no college. You know what I'm saying? Kobe came straight out of high school into the NBA. Ain't a whole lot of people can do that. You know, ain't a whole lot of people can do that and excel the way he did at it. I can only, what, there are two others? I know there are others, but the two that pop in my head besides Kobe, of course, is LeBron James and Daryl Dawkins. I don't think Daryl Dawkins went to college. But regardless, we got a responsibility. And that's what I'm saying. We got a responsibility to not be cutting each other down. Caller, you're on the air. What's happening?
What's up, my brother?
What's happening?
Yeah, that's your boy. By the way, Trace McGrady and Fo Moses Malone.
Okay. Yeah. I knew there were more, but they just their name mm-hmm. wasn't coming to me right away. But
right,
but you wanted
right.
to say what,
yeah.
bro?
And I mean, well, you and I haven't talked, and we have talked, but on this one, there's no talking to me about what Gail did. It looked uneasy. It looked real uneasy what she did. And what I mean by that was it was almost like she was waiting for her chance to pounce. And I think I have a bigger issue with not even the subject matter. I have a bigger issue with that Kobe has always been readily available for interviews over the years. And what year did that,
yep.
what
Hello.
Year did that happen? Was that 02?
03.
03. So you mean to tell me from 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, while he was all alive, that never did it, and especially in what was it, 2010, I believe, the last time he won a championship, where he was, you know, like, because, you know, he's mega Laker. He was Magic, which was he was the Laker
right.
that everybody wanted to interview. You couldn't get a topic off to talk to him about that particular incident to himself over all those years. But the man's
yeah.
body ain't even cold yet. He's not even
exactly.
cold yet, D.
Exactly.
You know, and then you
exactly.
want to talk to a good friend of his and then tell her, well, you wouldn't have seen it because he's a good friend of yours.
Exactly.
That's what there are parts of that interview that, man, oh.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
just,
yeah.
she takes me to another space because I go, I'm not saying that you have to be sanctified when you talk about the man, but I am saying that where were you at when he was alive on all of this? Talk to him while he is here about this, which
and that's
I personally
that's the
already.
Part,
go ahead.
That's the part I don't get. I'm like, it's 17 years. The trial ran from 03 to 04, so 16, 17 years. You had time. You was not that busy. You could have pulled some time away from whatever it was you were doing to speak to Kobe. And like you said, Kobe ain't ducking no interviews. He's not hard to find. He never was. If you want to talk to Kobe, you could talk to Kobe. Now, and that's what I mean. It's like, and like I said, that interview, she's trying to walk it back and say some different things. I watched the entire interview, and that part that is being played over and over again is playing in real time. There's no excerpts. There's no twists. There's no turns. There's no nothing taken out, nothing else putting in. That is literally that straight 55 seconds or a minute or whatever it was that where they were talking about that, and she asked those three questions. Too many, if you ask me. One too many. You
Amen.
Know what I'm saying? Because the
Amen.
Family's still grieving.
Amen.
You know? So I get it.
Amen.
I totally get it, man. I get it.
You know, I don't know why it bothers me so much because I go, why should I care? But I care more about the fact that it just looks like the pushing down. And man, you know what? We always get called liberals whenever you bring up race. You always get called things whenever race comes in hand. But I'm going to tell you, man, I am a little bit sick and tired of feeling like that there are a certain amount of black women out here who they are willing and are able and are, you know, I hate to say it, but they get big tits when it come to being able to say something about a black man. They get real shallow and quiet when it comes to getting out there and saying something about non-blacks who are in positions of power who do some of the same damn thing. You know,
right.
They get, you know, because, I mean, I know Weinstein's going through his thing, and I know what anybody will say, well, he's going through his. Why should we have to add to that? Well, why ain't you talking about it at all? Ain't nobody talking about Weinstein in our community. But, you know, they're jumping on Kobe. Man, Kobe's dead. You know,
yeah.
Michael died. Now everybody want to jump on Michael. Right or wrong, whatever you think about him, whatever. You know, R. Kelly been dead for years. But you knew that, and you kept dancing to his music. You knew he slept with Aaliyah. You knew he slept with Aaliyah in the 90s. But you didn't say nothing because you was too busy grooving to his music. So, you know, but now we supposed to care. I'm getting a little sick of it, and it does look like a bombardment of us on top of us. Like,
yes.
We're doing this to ourselves. Not that anything is being done from the outside to us. And
exactly.
I ain't gonna front, man. It just bothers me, and I go, you know, you don't want to be considered something. Don't do the things that people consider that of you. And I am totally disappointed in Oprah's best friend, Gail. And to be honest with you, I'm totally disappointed in Oprah, too. I'm just disappointed. You know, there has never, ever been an upliftment of black people by black men by them, either one of them. Either you were already successful and they praised you, or you didn't get any praise and they just waited for the hammer to drop on you and then they wanted to talk on you. And I just think it's I think it's disrespectful also if we want to get to Kobe specifically. Man, he still has a wife and children here.
Exactly.
They're gonna remember this in 20 years, dude.
Oh yeah.
20 years
oh, yeah.
from now, they're gonna remember this, and especially the babies. Man, would you like somebody to crap on you on you like that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Man, and psychologically, I think it says a lot. About, because I heard what you were talking about our responsibility. We really and truly maybe don't take our responsibility as serious as we should towards one another. You know that whole saying, you know, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, you know, I've heard it forever. You know, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, just be quiet, man. You know, it's no ill deed comes out of being silent. But you know where we are now is, you know, everybody's about that money and that paper, and I get it, man. I need my money too. But you know, if you make money your goal, you'll do anything for it. And you know, they have a word for people who do that. You know.
Yes, they do.
Starts with a W, ends with an E. You know, they have a they have a word, you know, for that. You know, you can, my granddaddy taught me a long time ago. He said to me, if you make money your number one goal in life, don't worry, you will get it. Now.
Yeah.
What you do to get it, that will only be by how much it matters to you, how you get it, and what you do to get it. And I just decided that, you know, I have life, man. And there are things that I'm not willing to do. They just are, man. They're there. You know, and I feel sorry. I really do feel. Actually, I feel sorry for Gail. because even her cleanup wasn't right. And to the people telling Snoop Dogg that he shouldn't have said what he said to Gail, cause has effect. I'm not saying
yeah.
Snoop was right, but I ain't going to be mad at Snoop, dude.
Well, and that's what I was saying too. I identify with Snoop's message, and just like you said, the delivery might have been a little hard. He put a little street edge on it. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, the message was there. Just like I was saying, you could see the emotion. You could see what he was feeling when he was saying it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I get it. I totally get it. You got to ask yourself, what did he hear? What was said to him that made him respond that way? Because he wouldn't have responded that way if he hadn't heard what he heard. And I feel like as a journalist, it is your responsibility to question shit. You know what I'm saying? And if you're looking at this story and you're saying, something about it just don't sit right, I don't know if I should ask that right there. You know, or was emphasis put on it? Make sure you ask those questions. You know, did that have to be asked? That didn't need to be asked. I looked at that whole interview. That interview would have went just fine without her asking questions about a rape trial or Kobe's legacy because of it.
You know, I mean, and to me, that is, that's about as simple as it goes, you know. That's about as simple as it goes, man. You know, at some point, you got to say what you're not going to do. It's not what you're willing to do. You know, you can tap dance and him, her, and she, sham all you want. You know, man, I ain't got no problems with you doing whatever it is that you want to do. That's okay. But there are some things that tap dancing, it's not okay. It's not. And you need to draw that line within yourself and where you're going to go. You just had to bring up something, like you said, 17 years ago.
Yeah.
Man, when is the last time I heard anybody in sports? When is the last time you heard anybody in sports? When is the last time we've heard anybody when it came to Kobe Bryant? He won a damn Oscar. And nobody, when he won that Oscar a couple of years ago, no one, after he won it, mentioned what she did. But she says that some say it's tainted. Who?
Yeah.
Who is this
who are those?
You know.
Yeah.
You know, that bothers me when she says that. Who? Who? Who, crackheads? Drug addicts? Drug sellers? Who? Because I don't remember who. I don't remember for the past 10 years. And look, man, I'm a Spurs fan, so I'm a Tim Duncan fan. But when I saw my man Tim Duncan sitting on that sideline crying because he lost his buddy, because they are friends, and man, that affected me then when I was like, wow, I knew they were cool. I didn't know it was like that. But you're going to talk to me and then think me as a black man is going to sit here and just let you degrade this cat. Talking about some say, who? You put your name on it, put their name on it.
Yeah.
Who are these people, homie?
Yeah, as a journalist, yeah, I would feel like you would want to say who, because everybody gonna be looking at you, because at some point or at one time or another, you gonna have to say what your sources was. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't give up your sources, then it just sounds like the narrative is coming from you.
It just. And I think you hit that. See, now you hit it even harder on the head than I did when you went to the whole journalistic standpoint. When you go out there and it is your position that as a journalist I would be doing, because this is the only thing that she could actually stand on and saying in the way that she did it, is she would have to believe that she would be doing a disservice to her field if she didn't delve into that realm. Okay, but like I said, it was 2003. I haven't heard anybody talk about it for a long time. And she kept going, well, she said it about three times, I think, when she said, well, you know, the charges were dropped because the victim refused to testify. And she said it to Lisa at least more than once. I think it was three times. Well, the charges were dropped. I don't give a damn why they were dropped. They were dropped. The district attorney's office, as in Missouri, I know this because I'm, you know, I live in Kansas City, Missouri. The district attorney's office at any time can go and take on a case. The witness does not have to file, and the witness does not have to be cooperative. They can take the case on. Don't know about Denver, Colorado, and don't know about California, and I believe his happened in Colorado. Don't know, but I do know this. Prosecutors only take on cases that they believe they can win, because they believe that every time they lose a case, it makes the public turn against them. So I also remind voters, when you're voting for your prosecutor, don't believe that they took on only the that they took on hard cases. They only took on the ones they could win, because they want to keep their winning percentage over 95%, so that you will re-vote them in, re-elect them in. So that's another word I want to put out there to our faithful folk out there that are listening to my man D on his hot ass show that he keeps and keeps us informed. But I mean, it's the truth. It's the truth. Everybody don't talk about the truth. But I have to say that, see, when she said that, and she said, I think she said it like three times, I believe she said that. What you're trying to say is that that doesn't mean he's not guilty. I get that. But, you know, OJ was found not guilty, too, and he had a whole trial. They had a whole trial. The whole big one.
Yeah.
So don't talk to me about guilt or innocence.
Look here, cut. I'm at my 2 minute mark, dog. So
okay,
I gotta go ahead and wrap. I appreciate your comments as always. They are prolific and thought provoking, and that is why I love hearing you on the show, bruh. Don't be no stranger.
And you know I won't be, but you know I hate getting off with you because I end up mad all the time. I love you, man, and thank you very much. And keep your show going. It is one of the shows that we need out here for the public.
Oh, I ain't going nowhere no time soon, baby.
All right. Be real with my man, D Real, for what? For everything.
For sure. Peace.
One love, baby.
That's my man, Cuff. So, man, Cuff ass. Love hearing from him. I'm going to have to get back to the city. I know I didn't get to see you when I was in town, but, bruh, I got more trips I'm going to be making. Long story short, I think everybody agrees, at least everybody that's listening to D-Real. Gail, you're out of pocket, and you need to address that. And you need to let folks know that you ain't what we think you are. And if you are, shame on you. This has been Be Real with D-Real. My brother's out, because I ain't got no more to say. I done said it all. Peace.